talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Melissa by the Allman Brothers Band, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence and Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize, happens every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. I go out on location and talk to Judson Miller with Charleston Amish Furniture in their beautiful showroom in West Ashley. And you should really listen to that interview in particular to learn a little bit more about the quality Amish-made furniture that they provide. We'll also be talking with Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing, and he's going to tell us about some of the issues that homeowners have been experiencing with pressure-treated lumber that was installed about 20 years ago and is not lasting, and a lot of people are replacing deck boards and fencing and HVAC stands and so forth. And we're going to talk to him about what you may be experiencing at home. And then also we'll be talking with Ronnie Honeycutt with 84 Lumber about some great options to replace those deck boards, including some of their composite decking materials that they have. Well, have you picked up the winter issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine? It's got Leva Bonaparte on the cover. She's a star of the Bravo Network Southern Hospitality, and you see her in Southern Charm as well. And we've got about another month or so of our winter issue. So if you haven't picked it up, it's also our kitchen issue. A lot of people are remodeling their kitchens, and so you definitely want to pick that up if you're interested in looking at some great projects and getting some great inspiration for your kitchen. And then we'll be coming out with our spring issue, which is our bathroom issue, in about a month. So you definitely pick that up. It's available for free at almost every home-related showroom throughout Charleston. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we are on location at Charleston Amish Furniture, talking with Judson Miller with Charleston Amish Furniture. How you doing, Judson?
Doing great, Tim. Absolutely fantastic.
Great. Judson, take a moment and tell everyone about Charleston Amish Furniture.
Charleston Amish Furniture is a dream work come to life in a lot of ways, offering Amish furniture all the way from Ohio and Indiana as far down here as Charleston, South Carolina. So we really enjoy bringing something this unique to the market in this area. Charleston Amish Furniture, we excel at the customization and the design aspect of your furniture. So if you're looking for something specific, we are the shop that you can come to. If you don't see what you're looking for, we're the shop that can make it for you.
What is it about Amish-made furniture that you not only was important to make that part of your name, but what is it that homeowners should know about Amish-made furniture?
One of the biggest things about the Amish-made furniture is partially the customization and also the quality. The fit, the finish, the fine details, the things we look for that really say the most about the piece of furniture you're looking at, Amish furniture excels at meeting those expectations. And that's something that I love about the Amish furniture industry and what we offer. The other side is the customization. If you have that strange nook by the stairs, that area with a narrow entry hall table, that bedroom set that needs a certain size nightstand, those are all things that we deal with on a daily basis. So those are a non-issue. If you like the style, we can change the size.
A lot of furniture is, it used to be that it was North Carolina was sort of the headquarters for American-made furniture, and it still is to a good degree. But a lot of furniture is made overseas, and it seems like it's sort of not considered heirloom furniture, but disposable furniture. What is it about Charles and Amish furniture that you would consider it to be heirloom furniture?
One of the biggest things, the vast majority of all the furniture we sell is Benchmade. And with that, it's made to order. And that allows for a level of detail and a passionate craftsman to be making something that they believe will last for the next generations. I love to think about the idea that even this table that you can't see that we're sitting around is something that very likely could be in an antique store in 50 years, 100 years. You know, it's not going to wear out. It's a matter of, will you get tired of it and want something else?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So it's the Amish-made furniture at Charleston Amish Furniture. That's something that will potentially you can pass that on to you're the next generation then, right?
Correct. Yes, it is definitely generational. And it's something that when you see the Amish furniture that has been made, when you feel it, when you understand the quality of it, and really the only way to do that is to come in and take a look at the showroom and notice how it's made and how it's put together, you just realize that the attention to detail, the finish, the fit, it really just helps it excel in all those areas. And then with the quality, the longevity of it, it's in essence a no-brainer. And it just lasts and lasts.
You get what you pay for then, right? Charles and Amish Furniture.
Exactly, yes.
Gotcha. So we're sitting in the Charles and Amish Furniture showroom in a new section that has got a beautiful cabinetry display, and I want to bring in Lauren Manzin. Lauren, do you work in the cabinet portion of Charleston Amish Furniture?
I do, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, can you talk a little bit about this is a new venture for Charleston Amish Furniture to be selling kitchen cabinetry, bathroom vanities, and talk about the whether this is Amish made cabinetry and what parts of the home that Charleston Amish Furniture can help homeowners with regards to the Amish made cabinetry.
Sure. The cabinetry is Amish-made cabinetry. It's coming from Ohio. And further to what Judson was saying, the same quality and level of detail that you have in our furniture, you're going to see carry over to the cabinetry as well. It is fully customizable. There's no area of the home that we really wouldn't be able to address when it comes to cabinets. Completely unique when it comes to style and size. We have unlimited options when it comes to selections. We enjoy, of course, working inside the home, but we can do outside kitchens as well. Really, it's limitless.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Can you describe this huge display that you have here at Charleston Amish Furniture to showcase the Amish-made cabinetry that's on display?
Sure. We're really excited about our kitchen build out here. We have all different options, on display when it comes to style selections, colors, different wood finishes, hardware, trim options, layout. We really did try to incorporate every option that that is available here for the customers to see. But again, you know, even if we don't have it here, it doesn't mean that we can't do it. We really can bring any vision to life.
Gotcha. And what makes the Amish made cabinetry high quality, like the Amish made furniture here at Charleston Amish Furniture?
Sure, I can speak a little bit to that, but Judson's really the expert when it comes to that. Really, this is, you know, again, solid wood. We can work with any wood type that a customer might want. The level of customization is completely, you know, attainable. But really, you're looking at solid wood furniture, or solid wood cabinets.
Dovetail joints, for example.
Yep, dovetail joints, soft close on everything, Bloom hardware. Yeah.
Well, good deal. What do you have to say about this amazing furniture? I hate to even call it a vignette because it's probably about 20 by 40 feet. This display of the Amish made cabinetry at Charleston Amish Furniture.
You know, I think it's nigh on perfection incarnate. Not quite, but it's a portion of the store that it's been a passion project brought to life over the last couple of years, seeing it develop and build. Everything from just bouncing off of what Lauren was saying there to the customization, the hoods, the steelwork, metalwork, glasswork. All of those can be handled directly in-house by us and with what we do. As far as the cabinetry and the quality of it, with us, you're not going to see a... One of the biggest difference with an Amish-made wood cabinet is it's built to size. You're going to notice right here, if we look in front of us, if I can describe this here, between this beverage fridge and this range, there's a selection of cabinetry, and you're going to see on one end of this cabinetry is utensil pullouts. You see drawers. You see a different style of drawers with doors. You see another set of drawers. Typically, that would be four cabinets. And I know this is hard to describe with audio, but that's all one solid cabinet from us. Mm. And so with that, you get a fit and finish. You get a solid cabinet. One of the things I love to hear is when my installers are putting it in, and we don't always have to even adjust the doors. The cabinets don't warp. There's some quality to it. You've got your 5/8 inch back panels versus industry standard 1/4 to 3/8. So you've got a lot more durability on the back of the cabinet. Any style of cabinet, if you want a Euro style cabinet, face frame, inset, full overlay, for all those technical terms out there, there is a lot of options that we can offer. If you have a door panel that you have a specific door style you need us to match, we can make any door panel that we can get a sample of. Your hardware choices, like Lauren was saying, everything's unlimited. And then more recently, we've also partnered with EMG, Eugene's Marble and Granite, and we are also now offering the granite options directly here in the store as well. So while you're picking out your cabinetry and your options, you're working with Lauren or you're working with myself, you also get to work on selecting the countertop, getting that idea of what will the finished product look like, you know, how will this transform your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that could be incredibly convenient. And additionally, when someone is building a new custom home or doing a large remodel, they oftentimes will be thinking, oh, well, we'll be able to reuse the furniture we had in our previous space. But very often that furniture does not convey, it doesn't match up well. And so I can see how convenient it would be for homeowners to not only talk to Charleston Amish Furniture about the Amish made cabinetry, but then also be looking at all of the different furniture options as well.
Yes, yes. In addition to the cabinetry, as you design out the rest of your space, being able to see that maybe one of our live edge slab tables will look great next to that new island you're designing, or maybe there's another style of table that we have, or maybe there's a living room, a sofa, a sectional, et cetera, that would fit well in that space. And that's one of the great things about what we're doing, like you were saying, with the convenience is you can pick out your cabinet, your countertop, your table, your sectional, the entire home in our square footage can be planned out all the way from the function to the form. And it's just a really fun project to see and watch those projects come to life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure very few people are going to feel sorry for those lucky homeowners that are building a new custom home or doing a large remodel project, but it is a very stressful experience. There's thousands of decisions that have to be made, and you know, while picking out all those selections, most homeowners are also working a full-time job and raising a family and all that stuff, so they have to make time to do that. And to reduce the amount of time having to run around Charleston to visit all these different showrooms to be able to make those decisions in one spot, I can see that being a very advantageous thing for homeowners.
And we agree, and that's one of the things that we really want to offer, is that convenience and that functionality with what we offer. Another fun thing about the cabinetry is just, and mostly with the furniture as well, the answer's never no. We like to maintain that yes culture, as we call it, where if you want something, we can make that happen, that design. But yeah, if you're ready for that next phase of your home, whether it's a remodel, whether it's a new build, if you want that kitchen, the living room cabinetry, the laundry room vanities, or bathroom vanities, the laundry room cabinets, etc., those are all a portion of what we do on our cabinetry side. If you need the furniture to go in those rooms in addition, that's the other side of what we do, and we can help you on both ends of that. All the way down to the permitting, if it's required for the cabinetry, as well as any other form of installation. We have our own installers. We take care of the whole process for you, because we know that the people who are shopping with us and working on these projects are, like you said, very busy people, and we want to do what we can to offer almost a concierge for that, where we help to alleviate some of those stressors.
Mm-hmm. What about colors? This beautiful vignette that we're looking at of your kitchen cabinetry here at Charleston Amish Furniture is sort of an off-white. White is whenever I talk to a cabinet company, they always say that white is the most popular color that people choose. This is nice that it's an off-white, sort of a cream color versus a bright white cabinet. But what if a lot of people are going with bolder colors for at least the island, for example? Is there any limitation to colors or stains that might go on to this Amish-made cabinetry?
Absolutely not. And you know, a lot of times that can feel overwhelming when you come in, knowing that anything is possible, so which decision is right. And so what we try to do is work with the client, work with you to understand what it is you're looking for, both with the colors, whites. I mean, whites alone have, I don't know the exact count of how many versions of white paint there are, but there's a drastic amount. So working on those tones and getting those ideas pulled together, and then we try to narrow that into a bit more of a, if you will, a branding package or a mood board, of, depending on the terminology you want to use there, of an idea of some things to look at, and kind of narrow it down to that focus, so that it's not only simplistic enough that it's not an overwhelming process, but while you know that every option is possible and out there, we're helping to use our expertise and our experience to make that flow easier for you.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, and then as far as cabinetry for the home, the most obvious places are kitchen and bathroom for vanities. But a lot of folks have cabinetry on either side of a fireplace in the living room, for example, or there may be cabinetry in a home office or a guest room. Is that something that Charleston Amish Furniture can help with as well?
Most definitely. And like Lauren was saying earlier, all of those items included, all the way to outdoor kitchens, depending on the situation where they go, that's well within our wheelhouse. Other types of places inside a home, it could be garage built-ins to if somebody has a frog or a man cave or a need of special detailed molding throughout a house that they're having a hard time sourcing locally. Any of those things, when we're working on a project, we can add those items in, and we can fill a lot of those portions of a home. So,
does if someone did want cabinetry for an outdoor kitchen, is it a different kind of material that Charleston Amish Furniture will be using for that?
We prefer to do those in a covered area. Because Charleston, as we all know, is not the kindest to wood items outdoors, and that would be based with an outdoor finish on a like a cypress wood or some other form of outdoor rated wood that would be on that. And then typically surfacing that, I would recommend a Dekton style surface, something that handles the outdoor temperature and light extremes that we have here.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you can't miss the huge cabinetry display when you walk into Charleston Amish Furniture. And how long has this display been in existence?
We installed this display officially, I think it was November of last year is when it officially started. It took a little bit of time to get it all, the design work. If you get the chance to stop in and see it, it is not a small kitchen display. It took some time to get all the details ironed out, but I believe it was installed in around the November timeframe in 24. And we were selling cabinetry prior to that, but it was really by popular demand that it needed a bit more of a visual voice, if you will, something to be able to show, especially with the amount of options you'll see when you start to look through all the drawers.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, Judson, can you take me on a tour of the rest of the Charleston Amish furniture showroom? And let's start off with how many square feet is this showroom? It looks almost as big as a football field.
It likely would be close. We are about 35,000 square foot under roof as a showroom altogether.
Gotcha. Very good. And is the Charleston Amish Furniture Showroom organized in a particular way?
For the most part, we do have some method to the madness when you walk in. Typically around the outside edges, you'll see some bedroom, and then the next ring in, you're going to have upholstery of varying styles and types. And then dining is somewhat evolves and moves as depending on the interest in certain pieces and our stocking at different times of the year, but that's more towards the center of it. Occasional tables would be, of course, with the upholstery around that outer ring, and then typically hutches are going to be on a series of vignette walls that are situated throughout the center of the store on either side to allow you to have those buffets and the hutches and all the customizations that come with those, bookshelves, etc.
And speaking of dining tables, Charleston Amish Furniture, you folks have made quite a reputation for yourself with regards to the live edge dining tables. Talk about what a live edge table is, and the inventory that you folks have.
Definitely. So we have about, at any given day, they tend to fly off the floor, but we typically keep about 25 to 30 available in stock, varying wood species and sizes. We started calling them live edge as a way to understand what they, to describe what they are. Really, for the majority of them, if you take a tree and you would vertically cut a 2-inch slab out of that tree, that is what a live edge slab is.
Now, from the bottom of the tree on up.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And just trying to describe what this is exactly. Now there's a lot of variations of what you can do with it. The wood species you use, if the tree was hit by lightning and had some cracking on the inside, or there's just really ornate interior work that's done from the natural growth of the tree, we'll fill those voids with epoxies. And we can do those with a variety of different colors. And we not only have the inventory on the floor to demonstrate that, but also our display stand that shows those different epoxy options that you can put into the voids to just really help complete that look. Now, trees, as we know, don't grow straight on the outside edges. So we offer a couple options there. One option is to keep that natural curvature on the outside. And that's the original moniker to the live edge table. Now with some modernization where you still see that classic design, but what we call the dimensional edge is where you cut those edges straight to helps to modernize it a little bit, or for daily use makes it a little easier to sit at, much like the table that we have here in front of us here. It just makes it a little bit easier to be able to fit, you know, mm-hmm. the 10 chairs around it.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of styles of furniture? Because I think some of our listeners might think Amish furniture, that sounds like it's going to be traditional, maybe something that I would see in my parents' house or something like that. Are there different
styles of furniture at Charleston Amish Furniture?
Yes, Tim, most definitely. You know, over the years, I've seen it evolve, and I've seen the Amish furniture continue to offer the classic designs that we think of when we think of Amish furniture, the more traditional, the craftsman style. And we still carry some of that throughout the floor here. If you come in and walk around, you'll see it. But as over the years, there have been more modern options. And then another thing that we do is we try to listen when you speak. And when you ask for something different or you ask for a different style of design, we work on generating those designs. We take those designs back to our builders and we have those designs made. And then we try to instill them as commonplace items. A fair example is the set of bookshelves that we have near where we're standing right now that you know are an in-store design. And we're the original ones that started it. And we bring it down here to Charleston and we offer it up. So with that, we're able to offer anything from your traditional line all the way to your ultra modern, your high sheen finish, etc., all the way over to just a really beautiful coastal design to the lighter side. You can still, you know, the full range, if it can be made with wood, we can make it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And then further on through the Charleston Amish Furniture Showroom, I see a big display of outdoor living furniture. Talk about that for a minute.
The outdoor furniture. I absolutely am an incredible fan of this product. I buy it for myself. I love this product. We warranty it for a lifetime. You know, industry standards, you know, it's a quality product. It would typically be less than that. We warranty it for the lifetime of the product. And that's, you know, stainless steel hardware. It's 99% UV resistant. It's almost impervious to damage. I mean, I have a couple of dogs and 1 and 3 year old, and they haven't managed to destroy it yet. So we know it's held up. But one of the things I love about it most is that even with this Charleston climate, we all know that it's brutal. We love this city. We love to be here, but it's brutal on wood furniture when it's outside. When you take our outdoor furniture, you can put it at the end of the dock near the river, and the salt, the air, it doesn't damage it. It just lasts.
What's the outdoor furniture made from?
It's a polyethylene product. So it's a recycled plastics in essence. And gotcha. Then there's a UV, the portion of it that's not recycled is the UV stabilizers and some other things to help maintain it, to keep it from fading and to minimize the amount of fading that you would have from it.
So once again, it's get what you pay for. It's long lasting. It's not going to be a disposable type outdoor furniture, which most of us, including myself, have experienced through the years, where you just your outdoor furniture, especially in, as you mentioned, our climate here in Charleston, it's a salty air. Many people live on the water and. You might be sitting out on your porch and a light fixture might just fall off the wall because it's rusted through and that you're not going to have that happen with the outdoor furniture from Charleston Amish Furniture.
That's definitely correct. And that just, it doesn't happen. There's nothing to rust. There's nothing to fall. There's nothing to come apart. One of the things that we find is that if you compare this with, let's use the example of a wicker furniture piece, we're typically less than twice as expensive as that piece. And now that might seem drastic, but if you put that wicker piece outside, you will not have it in 18 months to 2 years. If it's out in the regular weather here in Charleston, it rots, rusts, etc. And you know, nothing wrong with wicker, beautiful piece of furniture, but it will have that shorter lifespan. When you deal with something with the poly product, as we call it, the poly lumber, you'll have it for the next 10, 15 years, 20 years, as long as you want to have it. And it's covered under warranty. So if at some point an arm would snap or anything along those lines, it's easy enough for us to get a replacement product. And everything is made to be able to come apart and put back together.
Well, very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Charleston Amish Furniture?
The easiest way would be to go on our website at charlestonamishfurniture.com. Or we're at 1750 Sam Rittenberg Boulevard here in Charleston, West Ashley. We're open 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday, and we'd love to have you stop in.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Judson Miller with Charleston Amish Furniture at the Charleston Amish Furniture Showroom. Thanks so much, Judson.
Thank you, Tim.
And now we're talking with Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing. about pressure-treated lumber and how pressure-treated lumber that was installed 10 to 20 years ago has been failing in the Low Country. Pressure-treated lumber is used in all sorts of applications around the outside of the home, on decks, exterior wood staircases, generator stands, pool equipment stands. What else am I missing? Where else is pressure-treated lumber used, yeah. Rick?
You're right, Tim. All those areas, all exterior fencing, porch railing, porch flooring, and, of course, all the trim profiles, siding profiles, docks, boardwalks, all that's pressure-treated wood.
Gotcha. Well, describe for our listeners what pressure-treated lumber is and what problems have been associated with pressure-treated lumber that was installed in the last 10 to 20 years.
Okay, and pressure-treated lumber in the simplest of forms is it's usually created out of southern yellow pine. It's milled to profile 2x4s, 2x6s, 1x material. It's you know, in the pressure-treated facility, it's loaded on a cart. The boards are separated. It goes into a tube. They close this big door. It looks like a big safe. And they put it under negative pressure. So they pull the air out of the tube and out of the board, put about 30 pounds of negative pressure, and then they flood that chamber with a pressure-treated chemical. Most of it is all water-based chemicals these days. And then they put that under pressure, usually about 150 pounds of pressure, and they leave it in the chamber for a prescribed period of time, and that pushes that pressure-treated chemical as far into the cells of that board as possible. Then they pull it out of that chamber. Once they reach that saturation, they extract the remaining liquid, pull it out, and then it's usually either packed and sent to a yard, which would be called wet pressure-treated, or it's kiln-dried to stabilize it, and then it's sent to the lumber yards.
Gotcha. And so why have homeowners been experiencing the failure of pressure-treated lumber over the last few years for pressure-treated lumber that was installed, as I mentioned, 10 to 20 years ago?
That's a great question. And what most people recognize when you drive down the road and you see those telephone poles standing there, we all, you know, many people, boomers and beyond, recognize that as a creosote treated product. And many of those chemicals in those days were.
Rick?
And they lasted virtually forever. They were virtually non-destructible. But over time, various of those chemicals have been outlawed. And the one that we were using probably coming into the 2000s was a chemical called chromated copper arsenate, CCA. And that CCA was a great treatment. Wood would last, usually 20, 25, 30 years in an application before it, finally succumbed to the elements. And then, I don't know, Tim, somewhere around 2008 to 2010, there was a lawsuit against pressure-treated industry. And to eliminate the arsenate, which is arsenic, out of the pressure-treated product. That threw the industry into a tailspin trying to find. They had gone from creosote to CCA, and now they're trying to find the next best chemical without the arsenate. And in that process, they came out with CBA, CA copper azole, copper borate azole, and they were testing to try to find something that would last nearly as long, but obviously not as long. And that's what those clients have experienced that have had material fail over the last 8 to 15 years was that testing process. I personally suffered it myself. My front porch stair stringers and my rear porch stair stringers all rotted out with pressure-treated material.
Mm, gotcha. Rick, describe how your company, Carolina Machine Finishing, helps extend the life of pressure-treated lumber and all sorts of exterior building materials, and how you have become a lumber expert over the 26 years Carolina Machine Finishing has been in existence.
Well, appreciate the opportunity. Carolina Machine Finishing, we're a company, and that's really the reason we moved to the low country of South Carolina 26 years ago, was to introduce a process that could make wood and exterior and interior building components last longer. And the way we do that, if we take a dry piece of material, like a kiln-dried pressure-treated product, there's two things that destroy a wood naturally, and that's ultraviolet light and moisture. And if wood gets wet, then it's susceptible to the other two contaminating or damaging components, and that's termites and wood rot fungi. So if we can protect the board from getting saturated, and we can keep the ultraviolet light off of it, we can make it last, you know, 3 to 4 times longer than it would otherwise. So it's just an environmentally conscious process. So what we do, once a lumber yard has a pressure-treated board that's treated to ground contact, and the new chemicals today are micronized copper azole, they're very good, they treat it, then they kiln dry it. Then what they do is they ship it to Carolina Machine Finishing, and we run it through a machine, and we encapsulate that board on all 6 sides, top, bottom, edges, and the ends, with an oil base, not a water base, an oil base primer. Oil base primers are impervious, unlike water base coatings, which are, you have microporosity and allow moisture to enter. We seal that thing in an oil base coating, which prevents moisture from getting inside the board and protects it from ultraviolet light and the infiltration of water. So it makes a component like a piece of pressure treated material that may last 12 to 16, 18 years, it can now make it last again, now 20, 25 years.
Gotcha. So Carolina Machine Finishing, I've been to your facility numerous times, and you folks take that piece of let's say a pressure treated 2x4, and you lay it on a conveyor belt kind of thing, and you run it through the machine that is flood applying the oil based primer on all 6 sides over that 2x4. So it's coated, the entire pressure treated 2x4 is coated completely with oil based primer. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Kind of gives you the impression, as you're describing it, Tim, of a Krispy Kreme donut going through the glazing machine.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. So it is coated. It flood applies it. So we probably put 4 times more coating on that board than it can handle. But then it goes out of that conveyor from the flood application into a series of brushes that are brushing it, making sure that every fiber of wood is encapsulated individually as well as the entirety of the board. And it's doing that on all sides of the board. And then the board comes out the back end of the machine where it's racked and air dried. We do not heat dry it, RF dry it or anything. We just allow it to air dry and then pack it down and send it to the job site. And we've been doing that, Tim, for 26 years, and we have no problems with it.
Gotcha. Well, what are the best options today for homeowners and builders when it comes to extending the life of pressure-treated lumber used on the exterior of the home?
Number one, if you're buying pressure-treated wood, you want to make sure you're buying ground contact material. There's pressure treatments that are good for above ground, but today, just because the chemical's not as strong as a CCA, it's not as strong as a creosote, you want to have the highest retention level inside the board. So it needs to be at least a 0.40 pounds per cubic foot of retention, all the way up to a 2.5 pounds, which is salt water treated material. So they want to make sure it's ground contact rated. They want to make sure that it's been kiln dried. You do not want to buy wet wood, because it's going to shrink, it's going to twist, cup, warp, and split. So it needs to be kiln-dried material. And then it needs to be pre-coated with an oil-based primer on all sides. And they will have the greatest longevity, most durable piece of pressure-treated wood that's available anywhere in the United States.
So the reason they switched the formula for pressure treated lumber was mainly because they were and this came from the Environmental Protection Agency, correct?
Correct, and they were trying to eliminate the arsenic out of the board. And obviously, that sounds like horrible. Who would have put arsenic in the board? But there was so little arsenic put in the board. A 2x416, if an adult were to ingest it, my understanding is if you ate the whole 2x416, it wouldn't harm you. So, but there was enough in there to create in our litigious society to be able to sue the industry and get that taken out, and somebody made billions. And so we lost that, advantage of having that additional protectant in the board. So, and the industry had to retool and come up with the next best thing. We're no longer as good as creosote. We're no longer as good as penta-treated materials, nor CCA, but we now have micronized copper azole, which is a very good product. It's the best on the market.
Right. And are the telephone poles that we see, are they still made with creosote?
They are not. They are now. The EPA does still allow products like that to be treated with chromated copper arsenate. If you're building a dock in the ocean, the Folly Beach Pier, those wood members, anything going on a beach access, those are all still CCA treated materials. We just can't use that in residential construction anymore.
Gotcha. So is this a situation of good intentions initially to help the environment because they were worried that the arsenic was going to be, seeping into the groundwater? Was this a situation of good intentions to help the environment that ended up impacting the environment even worse because more trees are being cut down and you have to pay for all the labor? Think about the carbon for the construction vehicles that have to pick up the lumber and go to the job site, and all of the everything involved with installing, replacing the failed pressure treated lumber with new pressure treated lumber today.
That's exactly right. So it is a well intended, just misapplied. So because to my knowledge, no recorded cases of any type of poisoning or anything, but it has a name that's scary.
Yeah.
So, and then what we do now, we shorten the life of the board. So you're exactly right. And that life cycle analysis of wood in an industry, from the time it takes to grow a piece of material, a tree, to harvest the tree, to take it to a factory, to mill it into a profile, to treat it, do everything, transport it to its final destination. And if you shorten that process, you're actually creating a bigger carbon footprint. You're doing more damage to the environment than had we left well enough alone. But once Pandora's box is open, we find out you can never close it again. So,
right. Well, Rick, tell our listeners how they can get more information about Carolina Machine Finishing and the excellent work that you folks do to help extend the life of pressure treated lumber used on the exterior of a person's home.
Thank you, Tim. They can reach us. Our office number is 843-760-0029. Tom and I are always happy to answer calls. People are welcome to stop by the shop. We're located at 4696 Franchise Street in North Charleston. Happy to give people a tour if they want to come by the plant. And they can reach us online at cmfprefinish.com or carolinamachinefinishing.com.
And you can always find Carolina Machine Finishing within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with lumber expert Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, Tim.
And now we're talking with Ronnie Honeycutt with 84 Lumber. How you doing, Ronnie?
Tim, I'm doing good. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning.
You bet. Ronnie, take a moment and tell our listeners all about 84 Lumber.
84 Lumber was started back in the 1940s by Mr. Hardy, and now is owned by his daughter, Maggie. It's a wonderful company to work for. We're full building supply from framing, windows, doors, exterior trim, interior trim, stair parts, anything that you want in building your new home or remodeling your home.
Excellent. And 84 Lumber, you have two locations here locally?
Yes, sir. We have one here in Somerville, located at 2520 Northwest Long Beach, and also one in Mount Pleasant.
All right, very good. And what I wanted to have you tell our listeners about specifically is building materials that are used on the exterior of a person's home, and specifically pressure-treated lumber and perhaps composite materials that 84 Lumber sells. There have been a lot of decks and fences and exterior wood staircases, pool equipment stands, generator stands, HVAC yes. stands, that the pressure treated all of the they use pressure treated lumber that was installed 10 to 20 years ago, and some of that those materials are failing, mainly because the Environmental Protection Agency changed the formula that pressure treated lumber uses to make the pressure treated lumber last a long time. And so a lot of homeowners and builders are having to replace those different items in their home. When a builder or a homeowner comes to 84 Lumber, can you describe some of the different options that 84 Lumber can help a homeowner with regard to the exterior materials used on the exterior of someone's home?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we carry everything from Trex, which was the originator of the composite decking. We carry Fibron, Apex, all different types of composite material, which is made out. Some of them have kind of like a wood flower and plastic in it, and they're made made to resist mildew and stuff of this nature. But we also carry a full line of treated, and just kind of to address what you're saying, you know, 20 years ago, we had a product in the treated called CCA, which was banned by the EPA here a few years back. But around 2010, they come up with some other chemicals. So the treated lumber is lasting longer than it did in that little space in between 2004, 2010. They were still trying to come up with a chemical to take the place. And one of the reasons they did away with that, it had a product in there. They were saying it had arsenic in there, which affected the builders of decks, people that cut the lumber. The wood dust was harmful. But they've come a long way since then. The treated lumber is better. They've got a good mixture. And the places that we get it, we've had it lasts longer. But, of course, these composite decks, they're going to be better. They've made them actually cooler also when you walk on them. When they first come out with them, it was a very hot product in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But they've really done a nice thing. You can buy the decking, also the handrails and stuff of that nature, where they're maintenance free. You don't have to paint them or do any maintenance to them.
Yeah, and if you ask any homeowner, would you prefer to have something that is low or no maintenance versus something that they're going to have to maintain on a regular basis? They will overwhelmingly say no maintenance if possible, but low maintenance for sure. And if a homeowner came in and said that, what would you tell them in terms of what 84 Lumber can help them with?
Yeah, absolutely. The Trex and the AZAC those type of products. It is a it's a fantastic product. It's low maintenance, easy to install. They got hidden fastener systems to put it down. So, you know, there are folks that are a little bit more budget conscious, and they have to, some of them have to go with like a treated deck. And I just kind of go over some of the things with maintenance and sealing the product correctly. That's going to get you some more life out of it as well. So the wood decks are not going away fully, but there are definitely a lot more options now than they have been in the past.
Mm, gotcha. When it comes to the composite materials, you mentioned Trex, for example.
Yes.
One of the things that that homeowners care about is they want the material to look authentic and not plasticky, for example. So,
yes.
What would you say to a homeowner about that?
Yeah, you got different grades of composite decking. You most definitely, if you get the contractor grade, lower grade, it could have, but even those have come a long way. They've really done a really nice job of getting a wood grain in it. I think compared to when it first came out, it did look a lot more like it was plastic, not real. But it we have like three different lines on display here. We special order it because there's so many different colors and options that you could go with. It looks a lot more like real wood than it has in the past.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And how does it hold up, the composite material? How does it hold up if it's getting direct sunlight, for example? Does it fade, or is that not an issue?
You know, they have put some UV prohibitors in there to keep that from fading as much. Obviously, if you're in an area where it gets a direct sunlight, you do have more of a chance of it having some fading issues and stuff of that nature. But even on that right there, just keeping things keep it clean, pressure washed, things like that right there, the upkeep will definitely keep that from being as big of an issue.
And I've seen a lot of the composite materials. They mimic like a 5/4 deck board. They're the width of a 5/4 board that you see with a pressure treated version.
Sure.
Are there any that are like tongue and groove that look more like a traditional porch floor?
Yes, sir. They have of course, your standard is a 5/4 by 6 decking board, and you could get those in various lengths from 10s, 12s, 16s, 20 footers. But we also have the Charleston, especially this area, the 5/4 by 4 is very popular. So we have a product to kind of match that up. But yes, that is 5/4 by 4, 5/4 by 6 and 5/4 by 4 are available.
Okay. Gotcha. And that certainly gives you that traditional porch floor look that a lot of people seek. Well, very good. Well, how can folks get more information about 84 Lumber and the different exterior materials that we've been talking about today?
Well, I'm an outside salesman, so I'm more than glad to speak to someone anytime. You can call Ronnie Honeycutt at 84 Lumber in Somerville, South Carolina, and I'm more than glad to show them some different options. If they could stop by also, we could show them displays. But you can go to Trex.com. You could go to Azac.com, Timbertech.com. And also, we on our treated lumber, because like I said, we still sell a lot of treated lumber for decks. We buy from Culpepper and CM Tucker on those products. Yellowwood, we order some items from. So we're pretty versed anyway, our customers, to better serve them and to kind of go with what they also, we sell ePay. That's something we didn't talk about. It's kind of like a hardwood type decking. A lot of folks, I do a lot of that down at Kiowa and Seabrook, stuff of that nature, and different items of that nature as well. But they can feel free to call us or contact us at 84 Lumber as well. We'd love to be a part of doing the remodel or their new home. We'd love to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned ePay. That's spelled I-P-E. It's pronounced I-P-E. ePay, and yes. And that's a very dense type of decking that you're right, a lot of people use, and because it will last practically forever. The only issue with that is you really can't paint or stain it. Is that right?
Yeah, you really wouldn't want to paint ePay, but people do stain. They stain ePay. Of course, it is a hardwood. You can scratch the surfaces and stuff of that nature, but it is absolutely a beautiful product when it's stained. And if you keep it up, it really has a very elegant look to it, kind of higher end. Like if you were doing something in some of these higher end neighborhoods and stuff of that nature, that would be a product you'd want to use. It's just absolutely a beautiful product.
Yeah, and if you don't stain it, which will, if you do stain it, you're going to be looking at having to stain it about how often to restain it?
I would say if you put it like Sickens or a high-end stain, it'll be less, but you would probably want to put something on it every year and a half. It's all depends, of course, how the sunlight hits it. If you have a lot of freeze and stuff of that nature, but it's just something that you'll be able to see by the wear and tear on it.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you didn't do anything, like if you didn't put anything on, it's going to gray out. It gets darker. One thing about it, it's something you could sand and you could resurface it at different times in that to change it if you like.
Yeah, and a lot of people do not stain it, and they let it as you said gray out. It becomes kind of a silvery look within about 6 months, and then you have that silvery look for the entire time that you have your deck, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, even when it gets there, you can sand it and refinish it. And you can make it, I've seen people do that, and it brings it back just about like new when you do that.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of teak. When you buy teak, it's got kind of an amber look to it. And then within 6 months, it's going to turn gray and
it
has kind of a weathered look. But it's very, very low maintenance from that standpoint. Well, very good.
That's correct.
Well,
yes, sir.
Well, we have been talking with Ronnie Honeycutt with 84 Lumber, and you can always find 84 Lumber within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Ronnie.
Hey, you're so welcome, Tim. Thank you very much for your time and the opportunity to speak to y'all today.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.